So our Bible reading today is Psalm 119. I was a mighty fan, hoping we stay on the same page, which is on page 514 of Black Bibles. We're starting at verse 97, reading through to verse 112. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it's ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I don't turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I don't forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever, to the end.
Thank you, Stephen, very much for reading. And I've got various things folded down everywhere. Great. Psalm 119. Those of you who are guests, we've been working our way through this longest chapter of the Bible over the summer. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Bible. We pray that we would see Jesus today, that we would hear Jesus today, that we would be moved to love and to serve Jesus today as we listen to Psalm 119. And we pray this in his name. Amen. It is true to say that our lives are filled with all sorts of noise. There is the noise of social media, news alerts, and there are constant opinions being given to us. We are bombarded with voices telling us who to be, telling us how to live, and telling us what to do. That's the context, that's the culture that we are in. Psalm 119, and it's true in today's section as we come to it, celebrates a voice that is true, a voice that delights, a voice that enriches and guides and sustains us, even and perhaps especially when life is really difficult, which it was for the songwriter, which is what psalms are. They are songs and poems. And the context of this psalm, as we've been going through it, is clearly someone who is suffering in a whole range of ways. And this person found the voice of God profound, enriching, and life-giving. And it is the voice of God's word. That's what this psalm is all about. There's a lot of anguish, as I say, and agony, but there is also deep confidence actually in the word of God, in the Bible. Just keep your Bible open if you've closed it from where the reading was. Reopen it again and look at verse 89 in the previous section where the psalm says this: Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. God's word is forever, and it is absolutely firmly fixed in the heavens. God's word, that is the Bible, is a forever word. In fact, it is the only forever word. So two things from this section of the psalm. about God's word, and the first is under the title Love and Hate, and the second one is under the title Light and Darkness. Love and Hate, Light and Darkness. First of all, Love and Hate. That's verse 97 to 104. This part of the psalm, look at it with me, in verse 97, begins with love. Oh, how I love your law. And look at how it ends in verse 104. I hate every false way, love and hate. The psalmist unreservedly loves and praises and adores and delights in the word of God. Verse 97 goes on, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Basically saying, you know, you can scroll through Instagram and TikTok and YouTube for most of the day, for all the day, for every day. And no doubt some of it is interesting, but not all of it is good. Is it? No. But in contrast, the psalm says, I love the Bible. And I don't just read it when I have to. I think about it all day. Reading, thinking, and praying over the Bible is not my dull duty. It is my delight. That's what he's saying. I love to hear this particular voice. And there's almost a sense of worship here, isn't there? And I want to say, look, let's beware. He's not worshipping a book. Some people might say that Bible-believing Christians, it looks and seems like you worship the book. That's not what's happening. He's not worshipping the book. See, Jesus told us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all of our strength. And so loving the Bible is simply delighting and being unable to put it down, but keep reading God's love letter to us. I love him. He's given me his word. I love listening to his voice. That's what's going on. I'm worshipping him. Why would I not love to hear him and what he has to say to me? So beware of falling into the trap of worshipping a book. No, he's worshipping the Lord and loving, listening to the Lord's voice. It's easy to slide into reading the Bible because we feel we have to, not because we love to. It's easy to fall into a habit of not reading the Bible at all. So it's good to be reminded of what the Bible is. It's the voice of the God who loves us. And to open up and read it is to find something delightful, not some dull, dead duty. It's not some legalistic thing. It's a life-giving thing. I don't know, have you ever encountered a book, an author, and as you read that book or watched that show or watched that film, somehow the message actually resonated with you for much, much longer than when it was over? I've got a few books like that, and you know, they've been friends to me at certain points in life. I actually find I love reading. And at certain points in life, reading certain books have been like having a friend with me, walking through life with me in those moments. And so I have some shelves of books. I don't think I'm ever going to read them again. I'm going through the process of clearing out my study and cutting down my library and seeing what I will be using in the future. And I've decided there's a third of them that I'm going to be... I said to my kids, you've got to come round and tell me whether you want any of these. But there's some books I know I'm never going to read them again. But they're my friends. They walk with me in certain moments in life. I wonder if you've got a book like that. Or a film maybe like that. The majority of these things fade, don't they? But even when there's a real connection with them, that's nothing compared to the connection we get with God through his word. He's our friend. And he loves us dearly. And his truth never fades. it feeds our souls and it sustains us deeply. The psalm gives other reasons for loving the Bible. In verse 98 to 100 says, your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than my teachers. Well, there's a comment for all the school children amongst us now and for all the students. You have something in your hands that's going to make you wiser than your teachers. For your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged. Look around the room at people who are older than you. For I keep your precepts. No doubt his enemies claim to know better than him, to understand the world better and to be wiser. His teachers probably scorned him for listening to God's word. What a fool you are, believing the Bible. It must have been intimidating because, of course, in reality, they probably were cleverer than him, much cleverer than him. In today's term, they would have been better educated, got better degrees from some of the top universities. And so no wonder he feels a bit intimidated. But now I've got your word, Lord. I know more than them because I know you. And the older generation, I don't think that is just older people. I think in those days then, the equivalent now is the trendsetters of the day, the elite, the culture shapers, people who try and capture the way we think and get us to think like them. People who make us think, well, you're missing out if you don't think my way. And maybe he did begin to doubt himself. Maybe I am wrong. Maybe I am missing out. What if their way is better? Is a better way of living than God's way? And maybe he felt undermined. But God's word made him wiser than them all. That's something to take to heart, isn't it? It gave him a greater understanding, not because he was cleverer than them in human terms. No. These verses aren't a sort of an arrogant boast. There's no pride here. He only knows because God's told him. He only knows because he's listened to something he didn't know. And he'd only known it if he had listened to God's word and what God had to say. There's no boast at all. But it does put him in a better place than those who are the trendsetters and the wisdom of the day. Puts him in a wiser place than those who are much cleverer than him in history and science and law and all those other things. God had spoken to him. This section of the psalm is amazingly fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus had more understanding than the teachers and the elders of his day, such that when he was a child at the age of 12, and you can look in Luke chapter 2, he's there speaking to the elders and the wise and the professors of his day, and they are astounded at his wisdom. He knows more than them. Psalm 119 is Jesus' psalm. It's him that can sing this. Jesus proved again and again and again that he was wiser than his enemies. They chose to crucify him. Ignorant. Ignorant and not even listening to him when he said on the third day he'd rise. And he did. Wiser than his enemies. And here's the stunning thing. If you're a Christian, you are, and the Bible puts it this way, you are in Christ. That is, the wisdom of Christ is yours. You're clothed in him. And he's given you his Holy Spirit, as we prayed not long ago for Reuben. And one of those prayers would just say that the Reuben would know Jesus fully and grow in the presence of the Spirit, leading and guiding him through life, giving him the wisdom to understand the scriptures. Christian, you have God's Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, the one in whom you live, to give these wonderful truths to you. Jesus prayed, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Jesus' disciples, many of whom have enjoyed a limited education, have again and again and again in world history proved themselves wiser than the clever, Bible-despising people of the world. The psalm loves the Bible and he rejoices in its sweetness. Psalm 119, verse 101 to 104. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. According to Judges 14, honey is the sweetest taste on earth, and it really is. And according to Proverbs chapter 5 and Song of Songs chapter 4, you really need to passionately get on and get some honey. That's the Bible's view on honey. In our summer holidays, Tanya and I visited this place which had all sorts of beehives going into this. Well, they were in this room, in this hallway. And you walk through this hallway and they're all in glass panels, different beehives, that you see the bees making the honey. And after watching a video of them all and being astounded at how brilliant and amazing bees are, and the eccentric bees, you know, some bees, 20% of them don't act like, you know, everyone else. They think differently to everyone else around them, and you know, they don't obey the little dance, go and find this kind of pollen in that direction and that distance, because that's what the little dance means. There are some that are just different in the way they think and act and go, blow it, I'm not bothering with you, I'm going my own way. You know? But if without them, the hive wouldn't survive because they find new places to go. Amazing. And at the end, you enter the little shop and you could taste the honey. Seriously, the honey was fantastic. Any other honey that we've had since then from the shop, ordinary, it's acidic and terrible compared to this beautiful, fantastic honey. Genuine, pure honey is a beautiful thing. And this psalm is saying, that's the Bible. That's the Bible. I do not turn away from your rules, for you've taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. He loves the Bible. It is deeply, wonderfully wonderful to him. See, the Bible isn't a matter of intellect and knowledge, though we do need to have our minds in gear. The Bible is delicious, it's life-changing, it's transforming. It is true knowledge of the Bible. And true knowledge of the Bible doesn't just change the way that we think, which it does, it moves our emotions. It tastes good. And walking God's ways is good. And it moves our hearts and we delight in going in God's ways, such that we hate, very emotional word, we actually hate going in the wrong way. The Bible changes us inside, changes us in our thinking too, so that we love God's ways. We're moved in our hearts to hate the ways that are not his ways. We will hate evil. This is quoting a great Bible teacher. We will hate evil only when the sweetness of the word of God works its beautiful way into our affections. That's something to pray for, isn't it? That the sweetness of God's word works its way into deep into our affections, then we'll love God's word and we'll love God's way. Without that coming into our hearts, it's just dull, legalistic obedience, which is no good for nobody. May God work in this way in our hearts. Love and hate. So, I got a little gift, actually, for Dan and Vicky here. This is the Kezia. A child's first Bible. Our prayer for Kezia is that she would grow in the knowledge of the word, that it will be absolute delight and sweetness to her mum and dad, to siblings, and to her. So there you go, Dan. I noticed earlier on that you read your other children's Bible, so I thought to her. So there you go. She's got her own. Love and hate, light and dark. The psalm continues in his experience of darkness and light, as he's done all the way through the psalm so far. There's real affliction in verse 105, if you look there. And in verse 107, he's facing life-threatening dangers. In verses 109 to 110, let me read 105 to 107. He says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet." Well, you know, he's in a dark place. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I'm severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word." So in the midst of darkness, in the midst of affliction, severe affliction, he calls it there in our church translations, he says it's your word, your righteous rules. It's your word that sustains and keeps me. So imagine walking in a very dark, thick forest at night, and you don't have a torch. Basically, you cannot see where the path goes or where it ends. And no doubt there'll be noises and animals and creatures in the forest, and it's scary. And then somebody you're with hands you a strong, bright torch, and suddenly the path is clear and you feel safe, and it is a walkable, and on you go with greater confidence. That is what God's word is like when life is dark and threatening. The Bible shows us where to go. It confronts us with truth and says, go this way, not that way. We live in a confusing world, and it helps us to know what is the right way and what is the wrong way. And when other people say to us, it's okay to lie if that helps you, or be whoever you want to be, God doesn't mind. The Bible says he does care, he does mind. And his word shows us a better pathway. It's not always the easy pathway, but it's the right pathway. The psalm says, I have sworn an oath and confirmed it. That is, he has 100% determination, of absolute commitment to the Bible. He tied himself to God's word. Look at Psalm 109. Verse 109 to 112. I hold my life in my hand continually. That implies a deep courage and resolve when he's facing danger. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. He loves God's word because it's true. Even in really hard times, he doesn't stop longing for the word. He doesn't stop belonging to the word. He doesn't stop clinging to the truth, because the truth sustains him. And again, this section of Psalm 119 is amazingly and wonderfully fulfilled by Jesus. Psalm 119 is Jesus's song. Jesus famously said, I've not come to do my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me. I always do the things that are pleasing to him. Jesus, bound to his Father and to his Father's ways. And once again, as a Christian, if you are a Christian, you are in Christ. And in Christ, you are bound to the Father. You're bound to Jesus. You're bound to his ways. Go with the flow. Don't resist. Don't grieve the Spirit and the way the Spirit wants you to live your life. Know in your heart, I'm bound to the Lord. I want to walk in his ways and for his purposes and for his goodwill. Back in the day, I was given... I was given this little New Testament, and I was actually given it in June 1974. That's before quite a few of you were born. And you see it's quite rough and ready, this, and it's got little notes in it. And this is a very, very precious book that was given to me at a time just before I was going through my teenage years. Into my young adult life. Seasons my parents were working in a distant part of the world, and I spent a lot of time away from them. And this little New Testament was always with me. I kept it in my pocket. I kept it in my pocket when I went and did my engineering diploma. I left school at 16 because fundamentally I'm thick. And I found something easier to do. And I was with a bunch of guys. They really got me into motorbikes and AC/DC and Motorhead and all that sort of stuff. And this little Bible, with little book, was always in my pocket. And I've got little notes in it that relate to that era. Later in life, I ended up working in the brewing industry, Allied Breweries, marketing assistant, helping to organise beer festivals. This little book was always in my pocket, wanting to serve Jesus and go his way and not other people's way. It's not always easy out there living Jesus' way. We need his word close to our heart. That's my little book. And today I thought it would be real good, to get Reuben something similar. I'm so old now that I can't actually read this when I open it up, but I'm sure, Reuben, you can. And I know you can get it on internet and Google, and you can have it on your phone and all that, but there's something precious about having God's word right in your pocket, and knowing the Lord as you continue to seek him and to serve him. You're probably heading to America next year to serve the Lord over there, away from your own family, away from your church family. And God's word won't be away from you. The Lord will be with you. Keep walking in his ways and serving him. So there you go. What a wonderful word we have from the Lord. It is his precious love letter to us. It's sweeter than honey. It's a light in the darkness. Empty promises, don't they weary you? And our world is full of empty promises. False hopes, don't they crush your heart? What if there was a voice, even in brokenness, that remains steadfast, lovable, and absolutely watertight, reliable? There is. There is. God's voice, God's word. Spend a moment of quiet, shall we, and just pray that God's Spirit would open your heart to receive his word afresh and to live by it, that it would be a delight to you and a light to your path. A moment of quiet, and the band are going to come out ready to lead us in our final songs.